man, NBC Sports Bay Area, the young goat, Bonte Hill, man. What's up, baby? What's up, man?
KC, man, happy belated, man. My new guy. What's the new guy?
Oh, that was. Seen him on the shows. No, that was my man, Leezy. Leezy be tapped in. That's the rook.
He just be walking in the studio doing a show.
Well, that's the rook. That's the rook right there. He's the he's the Spadoni. You know what I mean? He's the Spadoni. Yeah. The rook.
What's going on, man?
Not much. Man, you know, you're a busy dude, so I'm glad you were able to squeeze this in. So many things I want to talk to you about before we tap out of here. Real quick, I was just going on this diatribe of how I know a lot of people, especially like in recent memory, like really critical of Major League Baseball and, oh, baseball's boring, all this other stuff. You're like myself. You're a big baseball fan. Been a baseball fan your whole life. Maybe we're a little biased, but outside the way Manfred's handling the A's, like that's a black eye on everything. Outside of that, I think Major League Baseball is cooking right now. I think it's phenomenal. The league is doing damn near all the right things. The coverage, the MLB Network, I think Major League Baseball is fantastic right now.
KC, you know, I think the last few years has been fantastic.
I agree.
Because we had this influx of young talent coming in. Mm-hmm. Ronald Acuna Jr., Albies down in Atlanta. You got O'Neill Cruz Jr. out there in Pittsburgh. You got the Cubs. All of a sudden, they're relevant again. The Milwaukee Brewers with Jackson Chirino, the rookie last year, who's now following up what he did last year as a rookie. Mm-hmm. Baseball's popping, bro.
It is.
The only thing I had a problem with was the end of the All-Star game. I didn't like the Derby. Call me an
I
old
liked
man
it.
If you want to. I wanted one more inning. I'm old school there.
Yeah.
Like, why are these guys leaving? Why are you leaving?
Yeah.
We don't got enough players. We're all leaving. I wanted another inning because I thought it could have been one of the best All-Star games we've seen in the last 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
But with that said, it was really good theater for 9 innings. The Derby, whatever. I'll grow into it and I'll like it. But the Ghost Runner during the regular season, the games are moving faster. Mm-hmm. These guys are balling, man. I look at the division with the NL West with the Padres, the Dodgers, or the Giants. Mm-hmm. We may have a classic pennant race here in the month of August and September. You got a classic race brewing in the Central. The NL East got Philly and the Mets battling each other. This is great baseball. Then you go to the American League. The Blue Jays, dude, they got Bichette, Vlad Jr. They got dudes.
Yeah.
Boston's now making noise again after the Devers trade. I'm with you, KC. Like I'm excited right now because we got football coming back.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA offseason is kind of wearing down. But baseball, man, they're going to have me locked in until November,
dog. For real, man.
Baseball's popping, man. You're right about that.
For real. They're doing – and I think the way – there's this perception or this narrative that baseball is so old school and all this other stuff. You know, one of the things I always say, and I loved what he was able to do for our beloved San Francisco Giants, the all-time moment – of Game 7, 2014, and what Madison Bumgarner used to do. But I used to hate, even though, like, outside of Giants, Dodgers, you know, you know how that is. I used to hate the way he behaved with Yasiel Puig. I hated that policing of the game and, you know, just run down to first base. Let's stop all that, bro.
Nah.
And they're getting that out of the game. Like, the celebrations that we would see normally in the postseason, now everybody, there's, like, an understanding of, like, yeah, if you want to do that in May, cool. I'm not going to throw it at the next batter or nothing. Like, they're incorporating that into the game, and I think that makes it for a more intense, more enjoyable game, man. And they doing damn near outside of the A's. They're doing damn near everything right now.
Dude, think about it, KC. You're playing 162 games, and things become redundant, right? And it's the reason why Bumgarner never got a job after getting cut by the Arizona Diamondbacks, because it wasn't just Puig he was throwing at and telling people. Remember Carlos Gomez, who could be a hothead, he fouled one off and got mad at himself. And Bumgarner's telling me, get your ass in the box.
Come on.
Don't want to mess with Carlos Gomez. I'm like, Bum, dude, chill. Just throw a strike, dog. So he was doing that with a few guys that I had a problem with. Mac, that's why Mike Smuncy was like, yo, I just hit your stuff to the water.
That was cold, too.
Go fish that ball out of McCovey Park, dude. So he needed to be checked. And that needed to be out of the game.
Yeah.
And seriously, because I like when Ramos, he's bat flipping walks right now. Like, whatever. Do your thing. Dude.
He really does.
I don't care. I walk sideways. When I saw Marcell Ozuna, he's not the best guy in the world. I get all that.
Yeah.
But I saw that dude during a playoff game. walk down the first baseline after hitting a home run and take a stopped in the middle of the first baseline and took an imaginary selfie. I said, you know what? I get down with that. Ronald Cunha Jr., the way they run to third base, and he's doing a little dive, and he's doing all this stuff. Give me all that, man. I want it all. Tatis Jr. It's made baseball more enjoyable. It's made it more relatable to kids. I think a lot more kids are playing of all different colors, all different shapes and ages. So, yeah, baseball's having a hell of a season, man. I'm locked in. I'd like this Mets-Giants series.
It's big time.
Man, I don't know when the last time I've been excited for a late July Giants series, man.
Yeah, man.
Farhan's gone. Posey's got these guys going. They didn't beat the Braves in two straight. Verlander got a win. Devers is hitting balls.
Devers is back, right baby. Field. Devers is back.
Man, Willie Adames is back. Chapman's hitting, man. Injected into my veins, Casey. Yeah, that's why I always love you, man. Because you're a three-sport star, dog. You got to be a three-sport star, man.
100%. 100%, man. We got my boy Monte Hill, man, NBC Sports Bay Area. He's down at Niners training camp. I'm going to try and get to Niners training camp, but I can't have you on here without talking about what's going on with Jonathan Kuminga, the Warriors, and the Kings. Now, here's what I said a little bit earlier, Bonte, because when all this kind of dropped about three, 4 weeks ago, there was a lot of talk of, oh, man, you're getting bad information. You're getting bad information. And I looked at it like this. I looked at guys like D'Lo and Matt George, and they're talking to people in Sacramento, and that is the Sacramento POV of any discussions that may be had. You, Anthony Slater, you talking to people in the Bay Area and Golden State, and that's the Golden State POV of the conversation that was had. It wasn't that anybody had wrong information. It might have just been, hey, the people I'm talking to perceived the conversation this way, and the people I'm talking to perceived it this way. And that's how I always looked at it, and that's why I want to talk to you, because we have an idea of how it's being talked about on this side, but what is that Warriors point of view or that Kuminga point of view of the situation over there?
Well, it's funny you brought up Matt George. I ran into him on the first day of training camp. Matt George is my guy, man. We all – people see Twitter and going at it. Like, all you guys are my dudes. I'm not beefing with sports right now. Like, come on, man. We work in sports, dude. I got out the hood for a reason, all right?
Yeah.
I'm not about – but the information – but, you know, even Warrior fans are coming at me because there's this whole thing about Jonathan Kuminga saying no to $30 million per year, right? And I was told in October, like, that wasn't the case. They didn't even get close to numbers. I think Anthony Slater may have confirmed that at some point over the last couple of weeks. So this thing is still going around. I want to start from there, Casey, because, oh, he said no to $150 million. He played himself. First of all, let's make it make sense. You're a role player, right? And which the Warriors have basically made him a role player. They haven't given him starter minutes like that. He's averaged, what, 20, 25 minutes over the course of his career. He'll pick up a DMP. We saw it this past year. He was playing his best fastball. He gets hurt. Jimmy Butler comes. He's out of the rotation. Then all of a sudden, he resurfaces in the second round. It's like, oh, damn, he could ball. Well, some of us knew he could ball. Like, when you lock him in as an all-ball defender, he could defend. When you tell him, hey, Kuminga, I need you to do this, he's walking into 18 points a game. Now, does that translate into winning at times? Who's around him when he's scoring those 18 points? Right. I think that's also important because he doesn't get the opportunity to play with Steph like that and Draymond like that. Right. If he played with Steph and ran that two-man game, which Steph Curry talked about this past season, saying, yeah, man, we got something there with the two-man game because of the gravity Steph Curry creates where Jonathan Kuminga setting the screen and diving downhill, he's either going to dunk on your head or get to the free throw line, which the Warriors had trouble doing in the first place. So this whole notion that he passed up $150 million, if you're a role player getting that many minutes, 20 minutes a game, knowing that your starting spot is not solidified, knowing that I may be the eighth man today, I may be the 10th man, I may not even play. Jonathan Kuminga ain't no dummy, all right? I know his people, I know his camp. They ain't saying no to $30 million per year. You sign that contract saying, I'm not even a starter, dog. I'm getting $150. That's how he's going to play it. So this whole notion that he passed up money in the first place was this big myth. Now we get to what's happening right now. And Jonathan Kuminga, which I try to tell Warrior fans, he's got a lot more leverage than y'all think because Warrior fans are in their feelings right now. And trust me, I love Dub Nation. Well, man, you need to pick a side, Kuminga. You need to do this and do – No. He's going to play this out because he wants to know that I'm going to get an opportunity to start and prove myself to be a star in this league, which I can't be mad at. Whether or not you think he's going to be a star is one thing. But I'm all for a player betting on themselves saying, I want to be the best that I could be. I grew up watching Kobe. I grew up watching these guys. I want to be a damn all-star. I want to go ball out. So I can't be mad at that. So right now the Warriors are stuck in this position where I don't think they could bring him back into the locker room knowing that, well, we don't know what role you're going to have. And I've always said this, Casey, you know, in our text, if you bring Kuminga back and he accepts the qualifying offer with this notion that, hey, They're going to do right by him, and they'll trade him in February. What? They're going to give him a contract knowing he's going to be traded in February? How do you think that's going to work out? That's right. Where people don't have that human element, right. That experience of being on a sports team or being in the locker room saying, you got Kuminga walking around here knowing he's going to get traded in February, then everybody's going to be hyper-focused on every single move he makes. Right. Oh, what if he doesn't dap up Steph Curry? Oh, he disrespected the coach. Oh, what if he doesn't look at Steve Kerr? Oh, he don't even look like Steve Kerr. He's disrespecting the coach. We don't need those problems. Mm-hmm. The Warriors don't need those problems. And that's a cloud that can hover over this organization for the next season. So right now, I don't know what they do with the Kuminga situation. I said it a month ago on the Morning Roast. I don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But I was sure after the season that I said there was a 90% chance that I think he's not coming back to the Golden State Warriors because I know he thinks that I may not get the opportunity that I want in Golden State. Right. So maybe it is Sacramento. Maybe it is Phoenix. But I don't see it happening in Golden State after four seasons.
I agree with you. And I think the Warriors have misplayed this Kuminga situation for a couple of years now. And now they're at the point where, and this is what I've talked to you about this, and it's no shade. The Warriors are a championship organization. But they're not 100% perfect. And I think they misplayed what they thought Kuminga's market would be. And when Scott Perry, reportedly came to them and said, this is what we'll offer you. They're like, are you crazy? We're talking Jonathan Kuminga. We're in that Saric and Carter, like, goodbye. Goodbye. We can get a lot better than that.
I laughed at it. See, I laughed at it. I was like, come on, man. Yeah. Jacob's not accepted that.
Right.
He loves Jonathan Kuminga.
and he was like, we'll go find a better deal. And here we are a month later. And essentially, Scott Perry's like, I did my homework. There isn't a better deal out there. Do you want to take this or do you want to bring him back? And now they're forced with a situation where I don't think there's necessarily any good situation for the Warriors. Because I'm with you. I wouldn't bring him back into that locker room. But it's also a tough call to take Saric and Devin Carter for Kuminga. So you're going to – I think if you're the Warriors, you got to choose, the best of a bad situation, but they still have their option of bringing them back and trying to make it work way.
I would bring them back, KC, because you look at the Western Conference, they're getting younger, more athletic, and they're getting bigger. Mm-hmm. And the Warriors right now, they were already one of the least athletic teams in the NBA. Let's face it. And they're playing small. You can't do that in the West right now with the OKC, Denver, Houston, Minnesota, San Antonio, Dallas. I mean, the Clippers are getting big. Like, come on, man. It's a new league right now. Mm. And Kuminga showed you after getting all those DMPs, which is just mind-boggling to me how people can sit up here and say, oh, he's a bum. He's a scrub. He can't play winning basketball. When Steph Curry goes down and you had to, hey, JK, we need you. Mm. And he does what he does against Minnesota. I know they didn't win a game. But it wasn't his fault. Right. He did what he had to do without even playing. And all of a sudden, he can't play with Jimmy Butler. And then all of a sudden, you see Jimmy Butler and Jonathan Kuminga making sweet music together out there balling against the T-Wolves. I'm not a fan of getting rid of talent like that. Mm-hmm. I would keep him. I understand the locker room dynamics. I personally am a big fan of Jonathan Kuminga from the day one when I met you up at the California Classic to go see Jonathan Kuminga in his first ever game.
He's there.
And he tried to dunk on eight dudes. He may have missed five of those dunks. And I said, you know what? This guy got some. He don't care.
Yeah.
And I'm running to Tim Roy, the radio voice of the Golden State Warriors, who sticks with me to this day. You know, Bonte, I think this guy could be like Ron Artest in the league. And I said, well, sign me up then. I'll take Ron Artest all day. So I'm not a fan of getting rid of talent.
Yeah.
I would keep him back and try to work this out as much as possible instead of settling on pennies on a dollar here. So, the Warriors. And I think another thing, too, is important, KC. We all underestimated the CBA, the new CBA.
Oh, yeah.
Because last year when you guys re-signed, I thought Malik Monk, I swear to God, I was talking to Matt George about this. I thought Malik Monk was going to get 25 to 30 million a year. I really did. And when he came back for what was it, 16, 17 a year?
Yeah.
Maybe 18?
He's at 18 now.
I said, oh my gosh, the new CBA is no joke.
Yeah.
People were afraid of that first and second apron and getting those picks frozen. So now all of a sudden, the money's drying up. And if you're a restricted free agent, you're in no man's land. Look at Josh Giddey. Look at Cam Thomas. Look at Jonathan Kuminga now. So it's not a pretty situation, but the Warriors aren't panicking yet. And I don't think they'll panic yet. They got a long way to go until training camp. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to play this out for as long as possible while Kuminga gets his work in, wherever he's at, Miami, New York, wherever he's getting his work in. So it's an unfortunate situation that the Warriors are the one team, KC, that haven't made one move yet.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Hey, look, clip this. You won't hear this often. Draymond was right. Draymond was spot on. He said it when the CBA happened. He said, "Nah, this is bad. Like, this is not going to work out." And he was right. Draymond was dead on about this.
The CBA is a mother. You know what, man? It has changed the league. It's changed the league. And Oklahoma City stockpiling those picks, having 14 first round picks in the next 7 years, 4 picks in next year's draft. They're set up better than anybody to run a dynasty right now. They locked up their core. They got all these picks, all those interchangeable parts. Isaiah Joe, Wiggins, Jalen Williams from Arkansas. They can move those dudes out because they got 14 first-round picks in the next 7 years.
Man, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Crazy.
Bonte, before we get out of here, I got about 2 or 3 minutes. You're at 49ers training camp.
Yep.
And I'm going to talk to you again. We're going to talk to you again before the season starts. But I've heard you say it, and I'm in lockstep with you. I think these Niners are kind of flying under the radar.
Man.
And I think the Niners are going to win the NFC West. I'm saying it right here today. What you seeing from the group so far, man? No pads yet. No pads. But
no
what
pads
you
yet,
seeing?
So I don't want to go crazy. Yeah. I'm not going to go crazy and do the total Trey Lance thing. Like, oh, my God, he looks like
we played that the other day. We played that because I was on the same tip. I was on the same tip. I'll say the same damn thing.
Listen to 49ers KC, Greg Papa went on the show that Monday, said it's the best throwing experience I've ever seen, or the throwing best throwing exhibition I've ever seen at NFL practice.
Man, we so was we all right the there.
A lot of people are ducking the smoke now. I'll die on that story. He should have started week one anyway. Christian McCaffrey, if he's healthy, that's the key. 18 touchdowns inside the red zone in 2023 to over 2,000 scrimmage yards. CMC looks like CMC right now. But again, no shorter pads right now. So I'm going to reserve judgment on the guys that I don't know about, the C.J. West, the Michael Williams, the Alfred Collins. Those some big boys, KC. Mm-hmm. They hitting that sled pretty hard, man. Mm-hmm. I'm like, ooh, if they could be space shooters. C.J. West, if he could be D.J. Jones. Yeah. If Michael Williams could give us a little bit of Buckner and Armstead playing inside and outside. And Nick Bosa, you got to turn the ball over. You got to get those strip sacks. You got to make game-changing plays this year for the 49ers. They're flying under the radar. And one thing is important, KC. Kyle Shanahan has another dog. He loves being an underdog. Mm. I saw him run a trick play today. Mm. They was running a trick play.
He's in his bag. Let's go. He's in his bag.
And I said, you know what? Juwan Jennings looks crisp.
Yeah.
Pearsall showed us some flashes late down the stretch. B.A.'s out there participating. He's going to be back in late October, early November. I think the Niners, if they could weather the storm early in the season where I think 6 of their first 9 games are on the road, they come out of that maybe 5-4, 6-3. Shanahan looks refreshed, bro.
Well,
he looks refreshed.
Well, you even look at that, and I usually don't like to play this game because you just never know. But you look at that and the schedule. We talking about the Saints. We talking about the Seahawks. We talking about I think Cleveland is on there in those first games. Even though they are on the road, Jacksonville at home. Even though they are on the road, some of those games, man, they look a little gettable, man. Like if you're Kyle Shanahan, if Kyle Shanahan is who I think he is, the roster is what I think it is. Yes, you should be going into New Orleans and beating the Saints. Yes.
Yep.
Period.
Yep. So. And Sam Darnold. Who's afraid of Sam Darnold, for crying out loud? I'm not afraid of Sam Darnold. No. I know he lit the Niners up last year in Minnesota, but I put that on the 49ers offense for not converting touchdowns and not scoring inside the red zone. They had an issue there. So, look, Shanahan looks refreshed. Robert Saleh's barking. Mm. He's going to show that energy on defense. That's a key. Robert Saleh's back. And there's open competition, KC, in training camp for the safety spots, for that linebacker job opposite of Fred Warner. Yeah. And I love open competition. You're going to get the best of the best.
Yeah.
So, Tig Brown at strong safety, it ain't guaranteed that he's going to be starting because Pinnock and Richie Grant are here. You know what I'm saying? Man. Malik Musaba's got an ACL. D Winners, Bethune, Martin, who's going to want that job opposite of Fred Warner? So it's open competition, and I think those Niners, people keep disrespecting them, KC.
I feel you.
They keep disrespecting them.
I'm ready.
And I'm loving it right
I'm
now.
I'm ready. Look, I got 10 seconds, so I got to get out of here. But I got we got to get you back up to Doco. We got to get you back up to Doco, big dog. Come on through. You know you had a good time out here, Doco, big dog.
Hey, Doco tweeted me right there. Hey, Doco's lit, man. I had a great time at the Golden One, man.
Bonte, man, I appreciate you taking the time out, big dog. I know you had a busy day, man, so thank you, bro.
Absolutely, man. All Shout out to the Chatty House, man. See y'all soon.